Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, it's not only is it opening day always comes with that excitement, but then you couple the fact that it's the only game on, Thursday night football, the whole world's going to be watching, and then you add in the fact that it's a rivalry game. You can't help but get jacked up for that scenario.
Got to get jacked up for that scenario. Going to talk with Mike Clements, NFL Sirius Radio, coming up here in just a moment. This portion of the program brought to you by the Wisconsin Biofuels Association. Go to wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org. Learn the facts just like I did. And if you're going to be out filling up today, again, I had to have the pickup truck with me today. Stopped into Quick Trip, got the unleaded 88, filled up with that, and you can too. Stop in any Quick Trip or Jets, anywhere. And check it out. Anything after 2001 can take the unleaded 88. And don't buy into the misnomers that anything ethanol is bad for your vehicle. There's ethanol in just about everything, so don't buy into that. Go see the facts. Do what I did. Look, the people that want you to believe that it's bad are the people that are trying to sell you all the oil, so to speak. You know what I'm talking about? So stick with the farmers, stick with those in Wisconsin, stick with the Biofuels Association, the ethanol plants right here in our own backyard. Go to wibiofuels.org. That is wibiofuels.org, and support the Wisconsin farmers, support Wisconsin families, and you're doing a good thing along the way, and it's a little bit cheaper as gas prices continue to go up. So don't forget about that. Mike Clements, NFL Sirius Radio, joining us here in studio. Hello, Michael. How you doing, buddy?
What'd you think of the schedule?
I asked Brian Billick this. I said, do you think that the NFL is trying to take away some type of a home field advantage because Lambeau Field is not going to be utilized once it gets cold? I thought it was, don't get me wrong, that means you and I don't have to take it in the face when we're leaving Lambeau Field in 40-mile-an-hour winds on a 20-degree below day.
Well, see,
so
that's it.
I'm all for it, but it's just weird.
We were looking at 10,000 empty seats against the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's just weird.
When they were out of it.
Yeah.
And if maybe the Packers were out of it again, because they got a new coach and a new system. I don't know. You got a new head coach, and so I think 5 of your first 8 games at home at Lambeau in the warmer weather helps him as he's getting his new system in, as opposed to being up against a really good team in a hostile environment, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're 4-4 and you're saying, okay, hey, second half of the season now, let's make a run at it. Well, you're going to be on the road, man. That's going to be an uphill battle. So that could be a disadvantage. And whatever. Everybody's got a schedule. Everybody's got road games. The bye week is really late this year in November. That's one thing. You're in prime time five times this year. So I found a lot of those things interesting. They put together a schedule. The number one reason is ratings. What's the best matchups for ratings?
Yeah.
And where they think teams are going to be. And remember how soft the ratings were in September and early October. So I think they're trying to front load some of those games as well. It's amazing to me why Green Bay finishes against the Lions again.
Right.
Except one thing that's nice about it is that it's in a dome. And the week before that, we're up in Minneapolis in a dome against the Vikings. So again, we're not out there freezing our tails off. But guys like Jerry Jones say, no, we love Green Bay. Weather games. It's good TV. You know, people can't help but watch. That's a draw if you got some snow coming down. The Bears, they're finishing their season against the Vikings for the 4th year in a row, which just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Except maybe the league is also saying, we think now for sure, those are the two teams to watch for the NFC North at the end of this run. The preseason, and well, let's talk about it. That opening game we're going to be at in Chicago, historic Soldier Field, 100th anniversary, all kinds of celebrations in downtown Chicago that day. Adrian Amos is the guy you picked up from the Bears at safety. He was on the NFL Network, and he's talking about some of the business he's getting from the Bears fans going over to the dark side and the Cheeseheads.
Man, it's been mixed emotions. It's been those radical Bear fans that's been, you know, angry and in my messages and stuff like that. But then it's been that same amount of, you know, people congratulating me and things like that. All my teammates have been very supportive. They was in my phone throughout the whole process, and basically they was all just telling me do what's best, you know, for me and my family. So because they know everybody, just their goal to get to that second contract and get to a place that wants you. And so, and then Green Bay has been very welcoming. Even when I went to Green Bay, the fans are welcoming, the coaches are welcoming. So I feel like it's going to be a good deal.
After you traded away HaHa Clinton Dix, major need back at safety, and you didn't re-sign Kentrell Bryce.
Right.
You know, you're moving on there. Amos is, you know, he's not exactly a ball hawk, but he's supposed to be kind of a solid player. John Moon Mullins covers the Bears for NBC, and he said, you know, he came out of Penn State. Those guys are usually fundamentally sound.
One of the things you typically get out of a Penn State player, they're solid. You know, oftentimes the knock on them was that they were so well coached that they didn't always have a lot of upside, but they were always solid. I mean, the Bears had a Bobby Engram, you had LeVar Arrington. There's some very, very good players, but they really were solid. And I think that's exactly what you're getting with Amos. I mean, he's a real quality member of the Vic Fangio defense, so he's coming up obviously with some 3-4 knowledge. Maybe not the greatest cover guy. In fact, I think he went almost his first 2,000 snaps in the NFL. I know his first 2 years without an interception. I think his first one didn't come until game 6 or 7 of his third year. Not a ball hawk. He's no Leroy Butler, let's face it. But I think, you know, he brings a quality. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. He's not going to be the blow-up takeaway guy that some safeties are, who the Bears do think they have in Jackson. So, Eddie Jackson, they think they have a generational talent there, and they're going to have to pay him in another year. So he really couldn't take on the kind of contract that Adrian was looking for.
Nice shout out there for Leroy Butler.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you got to think that the plan going in involves Tremont Williams on the back end back there.
Oh, yeah.
Driving in today, I heard you talking to Paul about right tackle and Brian Bulaga.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I think was most impressive about this Billy Turner, who, you know, was a guy who got cut by the Dolphins and then sort of, you know, refocused his offseason work when he went to play for and work for the Broncos, playing both guard and tackle. The first thing everybody in Green Bay is talking about is the size of this dude. He's 6'5", 310.
And that's
Packers,
a big boy.
Well, the Packers haven't always gotten those Dallas Cowboys size guys.
Right.
Now, whether or not he's fast enough, because, you know, everybody that talks about Nathaniel Hackett and LaFleur, they're going to run more of this outside zone stuff. They expect these guys, quote, to be athletic. I don't know what that really means anymore. Athletic.
Athletic means, what I take it as is...
Well, it's not Bulaga, you know, who's a guy who, he's just a big dude that's tough to get around. And
athletic
he can maul you.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be running out and pulling, you know, over the numbers.
Athletic means you got quick feet, quick lateral step, and if you need to take off downfield to get to the second level, you've got the speed to do it.
So whether they feel good that Bulaga can actually get through this season as a starter and not be injured again, I'll tell you what a major concern for me is, we still don't know who the backup left tackle is. I mean, it's like Bakhtiari. Remember how Bakhtiari was deciding, well, if Aaron's going to play, I'll play, or if I don't play, at the end of last season, when he really probably shouldn't have been?
Yeah.
And you saw some of the results. I mean, Rodgers was out there running for his life again.
Right.
They've got to find a backup left tackle as well. But let's talk about right tackle, and we'll talk about the fact that the thing about Billy Turner at 6'5", Andrew Mason's covered him for 760 out in Denver and says the guy's versatile.
He's really versatile, can handle both right side spots pretty well, but also has the flexibility to work at left guard. He was able to make a pretty quick transition to the Broncos when he first came over a couple of years ago at midseason after the Dolphins let him go. A real industrious player, real hard worker, and a persistent guy. You see it in the ability for him to step in and play reasonably well. Even when he was coming in off the bench. And you know, in Miami, really struggled, actually got cut at midseason down there a couple of years back, and looked like his career was a bit on the ropes, but he did a good job getting into Denver, learning the scheme, getting back on track, and establishing himself as at least a solid rotational backup. Now what the Packers are, at that money, they're going to ask him to start. And that's kind of the big question. Can Billy Turner step up from a rotational backup, a swing guy, and become an every-down starter? Now, that being said, he's never worked with a quarterback behind him like Aaron Rodgers. So certainly that's going to help him out as well, a quarterback who can move around and make quick decisions. That's going to make Billy Turner look better.
Yeah, so
you would hope.
Yeah, so they'll get a look at this guy in training camp with the pads and in the preseason. Oh, by the way, about the preseason too. They open against the Texans, the Baltimore Ravens, the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders, by the way, they still don't have a home.
I was just going to say, they're nowhere to be found right now.
Well, Mark Murphy had told us at the NFL owners meetings, he said, it's possible this game could be in Canada, Saskatchewan or Winnipeg, if they can't get something nailed down in the Bay Area, which I found really interesting. But in the meantime, there's two things that Matt LaFleur has done, and I'm still trying to get a sense of what this guy is as a vocal leader. But he's made two drastic changes from the Mike McCarthy era. The first one is he's changed the Friday practice. He's put that back in. Mike McCarthy ended Friday practice about 4 years ago and said, instead, we'll move that to Saturday. It'll be more of a run-through because our GPS information, our energy experts say with runners, if they rest the day before a big race, they don't have as much energy. If they go for a run the day before, they do better. So we'll rest our guys after a tough practice in pads on Thursday. Then we'll rest on Friday. Then we'll have our practice on Saturday, which, by the way, it locks out all the media and you can't talk to the players. Hello? And then we'll play our games on Sunday. Well, where's that gotten them? I mean, they haven't been to the playoffs the last 2 years. Aaron Rodgers got hurt, all those kinds of things. Matt LaFleur says, I don't know anything about this. We're going to go back to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practice, rest, guys get on a plane. I think everybody in the coaching staff understands that. And the other thing is a major change is when the Houston Texans come in the first week of August, they're going to scrimmage on the Clark Kinkle Field with the Packers. Now, that hasn't happened since 2005 when Mike Sherman brought in the Buffalo Bills, and there were fights out there. I mean, these things break into fights. It's by the second or third week of camp. It's hot and sweaty. And these two teams, they start slugging. So that's some good hard knock stuff. Ted Thompson saw that in 2005, said, never again. We're not going to ever do that.
No, of course not.
But now that Ted and Mike are out the door, you know what else it does?
Ted took up team bonding pillow fights after that.
It draws more fans to Green Bay into Titletown. And that's the new cat coach, I think, playing a little ball, too, in terms of, you know, business and revenue.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Mike Clemens joining us here in studio on this Good Friday. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. Don't forget, at Quick Trip, they have a fleet rewards card now. If you're out there driving around, plenty of you professional drivers listening to the program. First of all, we can't say thanks enough. And secondly, you have a Quick Rewards fleet card with Quick Trip and Quick Star now. So all you got to do is download the app on your phone, the Quick Rewards fleet app, or just stop in any one of the stores. You can get yourself some free coffee, some free soda. You can get a few free things of food. You can also get yourself some free showers, depending on the amenities at the stores. But stop in and pick one up because it pays for itself eventually. It really, really does. And by the way, it's free. It's fantastic. Stop into any Quickstar, Quick Trip, and pick up your Quick Rewards fleet card today. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You know, with most quarterbacks, there is a certain shelf life and a certain number of hits, and anytime you can take hits off a guy, I think it will prolong their career. Certainly something. I know this. I know he wants to win. And at the end of the day, that's what this is about. And so we're going to try to formulate a plan to try to get as many wins as possible.
Welcome back. Those are the words of Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur of your Green Bay Packers. Trying to eliminate the hits, win, put all of it together, and we'll see what happens before it's all said and done. Mike Clemens joining us here in studio today. A reminder, speaking of joining us, we've got Malcolm Brogdon joining us next Tuesday for the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. That is down at Rare Steakhouse, Milwaukee, next Tuesday, 6 to 7. And then next Thursday night, speaking of Mike Clemens, you're going to be at Lambeau. We're going to be live over at the Q Club of Wisconsin. Myself, Paul Emig, Gary Ellison, and you're going to be in the bowels of Lambeau Field.
Yeah, people say, oh, so you're going to Nashville to cover the draft? No, we never go there. That's a TV show there.
Yeah.
There's no action there. Well, right after they make the pick, you get to talk to the general manager, the coach, the scout. Then they put the player that they just picked on the telephone right there from the backstage. I mean, you know, we get a whole lot more information, so nobody really goes to the site. That's a TV show. You know, we're there to talk to the Packers. Like, why'd you pick that guy? And
right.
What was the thought process there? So, no, we'll be in Green Bay for the whole weekend because that's where the news comes from.
So we'll be covering it top to bottom. Mike will be there. We'll all be there, especially for the opening round coming up next Thursday night, live from the Q Club of Wisconsin. So Matt LaFleur, a little more personable with the media, feeling like at least he sounds a little more comfortable in his skin now. Do you know what I mean?
Off mic.
Yeah.
But he's still not very compelling, you know, yet. Everybody, the players seem to say, oh, he's a smart guy, seems to know his stuff. He was at the NFL owners meetings. He did a little bit more media. Now, he's got a lot more media friends. He's a lot more sense of network. When you see him working with, talking to guys all around right. The league and reporters and everything, than Mike did, because Mike would just kind of walk in, do his thing, and leave. You know, he's not there to rub elbows with people around the league. So LaFleur, he went on some TV show. I think it was NFL Network. It was sort of a game show thing, but trying to get to know these new coaches a little bit. And the topics was, you know, what kind of TV or movies do you watch, Matt LaFleur?
Best movie ever.
Gladiator.
Last movie you saw in a theater.
Gladiator.
The last episode of Sopranos. Did Tony die?
Yes.
You say that with certainty.
Yeah, I've never watched that.
Oh, okay.
So he hasn't been watching a lot of TV.
Yeah.
You know, he's been watching a lot of NFL film the last 10 years, going through about 11 different moves to get to a head coaching job. One guy who did a lot of talking, of course, is Sean Payton, the guy who got, you know, jilted out of a trip to the Super Bowl with that horrible personal pass interference call.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the coaches had the right thing when they said, get a sky judge. I mean, this rule for pass interference should basically be, if everybody sitting in their living room can see that a foul was committed, then why can't you stop the game and make the correction on the field? But they've got this complicated two-minute system and challenges and all that other stuff. Here, Sean Payton, though, this is a guy that's in a completely different place than Matt LaFleur. This is a guy who's really secure, and he's raising all kinds of questions about officiating in the NFL. Here's Sean Payton.
Let me ask this question. When's the last time we had back-to-back referees in the Super Bowl? Now, I know we've had back-to-back quarterbacks. We can't get Brady out of this game. But if the best referee truly was the best, let's just hypothetically say last year, this year, let's say he had a three-year run. There's no way that's happening. You know why? Because it's going to Jim, and then it's going to Bob, and then it's going to Tim. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things, if you look closely at, we just gotta pay attention to. And I think these guys are busting their tail, mind you. Meaning, this isn't an indictment. This is just forward thinking. And sometimes, you know, our parents would tell us, you know, we didn't have a vote. It was just because I told you so. And sometimes, in order to move forward, I think that's going to be the case.
So, which we should, you know, look, I've always said, if you have to talk about the officiating, yeah, they screwed it up. But there was plenty of opportunities for them to win that ball game, and they didn't do it. Okay, so you got screwed. Let's just move on. I know it sucks. You didn't go to the Super Bowl, but here we are. So to me, it's going to be a giant overreaction to an action that was a human mistake. Okay, we move on, and then we get into what's going on in our own backyard. The biggest, I guess, the biggest news that hasn't really been discussed at length has been the fact that Aaron Rodgers reveals he has the fracture in the lower leg. We all knew at time. I mean, you and Mike sat
together. Top of the shin bone.
Yeah, sat together and said he just doesn't look right. He's got to have an injury. We're going to hear about this after the fact.
When you look that up too, it says it's extremely painful.
Yeah. So you and I said this. I said we're going to hear about. He's going to say I'm fine. Feel great. Brace. Blah blah blah. And at the end next year, he's going to come out and go, I had this. And sure enough.
And again, I know a lot of people ask this. Well, why wasn't this reported? They did. They said it's a knee. That's all they have to say.
Yeah.
They don't have to say MCL. They don't have to say bone fracture. They don't have to say anything. They just say it's a knee injury. John Kuhn, Jordy Nelson has retired since last time we talked. John Kuhn is officially retired as a Packer. Actually, now been hired by the Packers as a kind of reporter.
He wanted that. Website. I think the day that Larry says, I'm going to hang it up, is the day that John Kuhn slides into that broadcast booth.
You got a point there, sure. So you talked to John the night after that horrible loss to the Cardinals, 20-17. Mason Crosby misses to tie it up and put it into overtime. Now they're bringing in that backup kicker from Seattle for competition. And I thought this was interesting. When you asked John Kuhn that early week in December, what's been wrong with Aaron Rodgers' accuracy this year?
Boy, I'd hate to blame it on the collarbone. I will say he did miss a large portion of last season, and he did miss a substantial amount of practice time this year due to that knee. And like I said, to me it looks like chemistry, because I can't really point to one thing here or there. I can't really say the line has faltered. I thought the line's played pretty good at times. I thought the young receivers have played well at times. Obviously, there's a disconnect with some of the what he thinks they should be running and what they're actually running, and some of the little nuances to the routes. The run game has picked up starting midway through the season. So I really believe just the chemistry, maybe the lack of time, it's almost as if they're falling into a spot right now where their chemistry should be hitting their stride, and it's just not. It's almost like they're in early season mode still. The Jordy Nelson let go, I'll say, it was the one that I thought could have been a kryptonite to this offense because of what he just gave Aaron at all times. And having him and Devontae, you had two guys that Aaron felt perfectly comfortable at any given time he could go to. And with Jordy not there, Jimmy has to assume some of that role as a go-to guy, situational guy, first down, get the sticks moving, third down, keep the sticks moving, red zone via target, and we haven't seen that consistently enough.
And he's right.
And this is you with John Kuhn, the former Packers fullback that Aaron Rodgers has said one of the smartest players I ever played with. 24 hours after Mike McCarthy's been fired after 13 years after that horrible loss to the Cardinals. So you're kind of trying to assess, you know, where did this go wrong? And everyone was saying, you know, well, it's because look at how bad they were against the Cardinals. I mean, it doesn't get any worse. And I thought John made an interesting point, said, you know, it's the other way to look at it. These other programs in your division that have passed you up, mm-hmm. and they're not taking their foot off the gas.
Yeah.
When you go to Minnesota and you face them twice, you face them at home and let that lead slip away the way they did earlier in the season, and then, you know, then they go up there and lose, and pretty much solidified not winning the division, probably not going to make the playoffs last week without some sort of miraculous run-the-table scenario. But this week, this loss, the lack of energy, I think that's what made the decision happen the way that it did. I believe this team thought that they were just where they wanted to be going into that five-game stretch where they had four away against really tough opponents, and they thought, we need to steal two of these away games. We need to win our home game against Miami, and we'll be right where we need to be. Unfortunately, you can name several miscues that took place throughout the course of that five-game span, and only really that Seattle game would I say Mike made a mistake, and that was the not challenging the one play, and that was probably really all I can put on Mike. The rest you got to put on the team, put on the players, put on the roster.
So they talked to 10 different candidates to hire a new head coach in Matt LaFleur. I'm still kind of trying to figure out exactly why they were so convinced this was the right way to go. And I just found an interview that Mark Murphy did on the road with the tailgate tour. And he was actually asked, this is such a simple question, who does he remind you of as a coach? And he said, Joe Gibbs. Because Mark Murphy was a safety for the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
George Allen had been this legendary coach whose message had gone stale in Washington. After the Rams, after he took the Redskins to the Super Bowl, they lost to the undefeated Dolphins. They weren't getting back in the playoffs. So the team moved on and hired this young offensive coordinator from the Chargers, Don Coryell, who was kind of a quiet guy, but a smart offensive guy named Joe Gibbs. And Mark Murphy describes Matt LaFleur as a guy with quiet confidence. So I think in the back of his mind, Mark Murphy's like, I've been through this before as a player. And that was the decision right. that the Redskins made, and that's how we got back to the Super Bowl, as he was a player for 8 years, a safety for the Redskins. Now, about the Bleacher Report, Tyler Dunn's story about the dysfunction and, you know, problems between Aaron and Mike and all that, and I think Aaron laid that out. Like, he admitted, yeah, Mike and I had our fights, but we'd go to each other's house, we'd talk it out, and, you know, we'd hug at the end of it. So a lot of this stuff came out, and Aaron's certainly grown over the years since he had Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley as teammates, and he connects more with players. But Peter King has been doing this longer than anybody, 40 years. And he talks to guys like Bill Parcells, who says, how they hire these guys with no experience like a Matt LaFleur, just 10 years in the league. And listen to what Peter King had to say about Matt LaFleur coming off of those 9-7 Titans as the new head coach in Green Bay.
You know, LaFleur had a checkered season in Tennessee. You know, a checkered season, and it wasn't all great at all. And the quarterback play was certainly not great. And then, but I also think that McCarthy and Rodgers deserve blame. I cannot believe that I'm saying that the Green Bay Packers, with most of the time Rodgers playing, have been under 500 for 2.5 years. That's insane. Mark Murphy, you know, who runs the coaching search now post Mike McCarthy, that Mark Murphy basically didn't use Aaron Rodgers as a sounding board, as, hey, what do you think, Aaron? What would you think if we hired this guy who was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee, Matt LaFleur? What would you think of this? Nothing. He never asked him for any input at all. Mm. And now, after reading Tyler's story, it becomes painfully clear why Mark Murphy would not ask Aaron Rodgers, because this team over the last 2.5 years is the most disappointing team in football, and no one is close for second place. Just think of this. This team in the last 45 games is 21-23-1. The vast majority of those games, Aaron Rodgers played. So it wasn't like Aaron Rodgers missed two-thirds of those. It wasn't like these are all Brett Hundley's losses. A lot of these losses are on Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. They are a sub-500 team over 2.5 years with Aaron Rodgers playing. It's just, I empathize with McCarthy, and I like Mike McCarthy, but he had no cause. He had no reason to think that this is a bad decision to fire him with 4 games left.
Peter King on NBC Sports.
Going to go and take a quick break. We'll come back. Final segment of the program. We'll wrap things up on this Good Friday. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I always did my best. And that's one thing that I can truthfully say about playing the game. Whatever I was the best I could be.
Forrest Gregg ranks as one of the most accomplished offensive linemen in the history of pro football. A second-round draft pick of the 1956 Green Bay Packers on a team that had not experienced a winning season since 1947. But sweeping change was about to occur.
What the hell's going on out here?
It was obvious from the onset, when Vince Lombardi came, that things were going to be different.
Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me.
If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and to try to run this play in the alley.
He drew that play up on the board, and he told us, he says, if we're going to be successful, we've got to make this play work. We'd line up, and we'd run that play. People knew what was coming, but they couldn't stop us because we believed in it, and we knew how to execute it. And we had the talent to execute it.
There's a Forrest Gregg for you. Love the football music. Mike Clements joining us here in studio as the Bill Michaels Show kind of wraps things up. So a nice memory there. I remember Forrest Gregg leading the Cincinnati Bengals for the first time ever to a Super Bowl up in the Motor City.
Forrest, born in Texas, gets drafted by the Packers in 56. They're a losing team. He actually started out as guard. Lombardi comes in, and with Jerry Kramer, he makes him right guard and puts Forrest at right tackle. But, you know, Forrest was the original Iron Man. Before there was the Favre streak, Forrest Gregg got up to 188 games as an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Jerry missed some games. Remember the one time Jerry had these pains? They didn't know if he had abdominal cancer or something. And after operations, they found these wood splinters in his belly from a ranch accident. He was a teen chasing down a calf, you know, on the ranch growing up in Idaho. Anyway, they moved Forrest back and forth from right guard to right tackle during the Lombardi years. There was one year where the UPI made him the All-Pro Guard of the Year, and the AP made him the All-Pro Tackle of the Year. That's how versatile, that's how consistent, and how strong. That's why Vince Lombardi said in the book Running to Daylight why Forrest Gregg was probably the best player that he ever had. Then he got another Super Bowl ring when he went to the Cowboys in 71, after the ones that he got with Bart Starr and that group, you know, the first two Super Bowls. Became a coach, took over in Cincinnati, and, you know, they had what was the guy before him? Homer Rice. So they had a good team with Kenny Anderson, who was like one of the best looking quarterbacks, the way he threw the ball.
Out of Augustana College, yep.
Number 14, outstanding. They were right there on the edge. So Forrest Gregg comes in and makes them tougher, a tougher team. They win the coldest game ever, even colder than the ice ball, with the wind chill.
52 below.
59 blow.
59 blow, okay.
Even colder than the Ice Bowl. They beat the Chargers and Dan Fouts 27-7. They go to the Super Bowl and they lose to the 49ers. Do you know who Bill Walsh was the offensive coordinator before he went to San Francisco? The Cincinnati Bengals and Paul Brown.
Mm-hmm. So where he learned a lot of his offensive
Bengals
philosophy.
Let their offensive coordinator go. He goes to the 49ers, ends up beating them. Kenny Anderson, that great Bengals quarterback, talked about what it was like for Forrest Gray to come into Cincinnati.
Forrest was a very imposing man. He was large. He had a great legend when he came here, a great reputation. He was a Hall of Famer. You know, he was just what the Bengals needed at that time. We, in 78 and 79, we were not a very good football team. And he came in 1980, and he installed discipline and a physical toughness and worked us really hard. It was a very physical time with him. Practices were always a lot of hitting. And then in 2 years, we went to a Super Bowl. And we kind of owed all to him. I think if you talk back to the players that played for him, he was the one that established the culture and the way that we did things. And I'm not sure we could get away with it today, but was a great, great coach.
Forrest Gregg, his years in Green Bay were turbulent, and he'd go after the media. Well, why don't you tell me what to do, okay? What would you do in that instance? And they would go back and forth, but years later, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, nicest guy in the world, and of course, he's the guy that got Gary Ellerson into the NFL.
There you go. Good stuff, Michael. Certainly appreciate it. Hey, we got a big weekend coming up tonight. You've got Chassin against Stripling, and then we don't know who's going to be starting tomorrow for the Brewers. Meanwhile, you got the Bucks and the Pistons tomorrow night over in Detroit. We'll talk about it all coming up on Monday. Until then, have a great Easter weekend. Trip!
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.